Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the Called Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Today we're continuing with our message of the Gospel of John according to John the Baptist. John made three points: make straight the way of the Lord, behold the Lamb of God, and be baptized with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Before we go on, let us have prayer. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing to come upon this needy preacher. And we pray for your help that by this sacred Holy Spirit, souls will be fed, souls will be drawn to you, and souls will be transformed and sanctified. To thee be all the praise and honor and glory in Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week I began to share with you on point number one of the Gospel of John the Baptist, where he said, make straight the way of the Lord. That indicates, dear ones, that there's something crooked about us, that there's something crooked about our hearts, about our attitudes, about our actions, our reactions, our relationships, our mannerisms, our motives, our spirit, and our desires. Indeed, the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. This is a condition of men, and this is a universal problem. This is the condition of every heart on the face of the earth. Men are crooked. They need a Savior, and they need a straightening out of their ways, of their hearts. Oh, how we need to hear the message of John the Baptist, make straight the way of the Lord. Young men, you will not make straight the way of the Lord by just trying to dress like Jesus, by wearing long hair. That's not going to do it. And rich man, you're not going to make straight the way of the Lord by giving millions of dollars to churches or missions. No, the heart of man is deceitful above all things, exceedingly corrupt, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is to say, Jeremiah says, who can get to the depth of the deception in the human heart? It is so deep. Is there any way that we can find the limit of it? The limit of the lostness of man, the depth of his sin, and of depravity in the heart and the soul of men. All men, housewives, children, young people, old people, are desperately wicked, are deceived. So says the word of the Lord, outside of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I've heard it so many times, parents saying, my son is a good son. He's on the honor roll. He makes straight A's. He makes his bed. He straightens out his room. He plays in a band. He has a scholarship from Harvard. He's never given me any trouble. My son is a good son. Oh, I know he's not saved. I know he doesn't go all for God, but he's a good boy. Dear one, this is looking through the eyes of man. But if you look at your son through the eyes of God, our holy God, he sees that the heart of that son is desperately wicked, corrupt, deceived, and that his righteousness is as filthy rags, and that if he were to die today, he would go to a place of darkness and suffering and misery from which there is no point of return. Loved ones, Jeremiah could look deeply into the heart of God, more than most any man, and so could John the Baptist, to see what God sees, the utter desperate deception in the soul of man. And so it is also true with the Apostle Paul, who put all of these thoughts I gave you into his doctrinal trees that we find in the book of Romans, particularly in the third chapter, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I want you to know this refers to all men who do not have God in their hearts, who do not love the Lord their God with all their hearts, soul, mind, and strength. Outside of that, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then you have verse 12 of chapter 3 of Paul's writings, saying, they are all gone out of the way. That means they're all gone out of the straight way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one, continues the apostle. We can spend our vacation in helping the poor in a foreign land. We can give thousands of dollars to the missions, the rescue missions of the world. But if we have not surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus, this scripture applies to all of us. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everything, no matter how good it appears in the mind of man, everything that is not done through Jesus Christ and out of Jesus Christ is unrighteousness and is abomination in the eyes of the Lord. This is the indictment upon men's claims of goodness. Verse 13 of Romans 3 says, the throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under the lips. And the conclusion of the matter is, for all have sinned, all everyone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the prophet Isaiah puts it in these words, that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Dear ones, God has to do something tremendously in our hearts, doesn't he? God has to get into our hearts through the Lord Jesus to deliver us from this deceitfulness and from this crookedness and corruption. So you have this statement of John the Baptist on the human dilemma, of Paul and of Jeremiah, and here are the words of God from Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Again, this truth applies to every person outside of the Lord Jesus. Now then, let me get a little deeper into the meaning of the word straight. John the Baptist says, make straight the way of the Lord. In the English, we have just one word for straight. In the Hebrew and Greek, there are several words for straight. The words make straight are used in Isaiah chapter 40. They're used in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And they're used in our text here in John 1. In each case, there's a different word in the original language in order to add richness and color to it. The first meaning of every one of these words means straight. But the secondary meaning of these words in these different passages is different. So Isaiah 43 talks about Yashar in the Hebrew, make straight the way of the Lord, in its secondary meaning as making pleasant and prosperous. When things are straight in our lives, when things are straight in our marriages, when they are straight in our attitudes, in our hearts, in our motives, there's something pleasant and prosperous about us. Praise the Lord. All we may hear the message of John the Baptist, make straight the way of the Lord, so that we can come to a pleasantness and a prosperity in our lives that is of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 12:13, it also says, make straight. Orthos is the Greek word here. The secondary meaning here is make erect, make things upright. In other words, apply the carpenter's level to your life and see if you're lining up with God's perfect will so that his blessings can flow into your soul, into your heart, and out through you to other people who are needy and hurting and desperate and destitute. In other words, take the kinks out of your life, the bends, the curves that hinder the free flow of the rivers of life everlasting. This is why Jesus said, he that believeth in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. The rivers, my friend, of blessings come from the throne of God, and they flow through a life that is upright, that is erect, that is lined up with God's perfect will. Yes, make straight the way of the Lord. The word make straight is also employed here, of course, in our text, John 1:23. The Greek word used here with its secondary meaning is yuthun, make plain, take away the things that cause you to stumble, take away the obstacles, take away the high places of pride and the low places, the dark places, the secret sins. Let them be rooted out of your lives. Make straight the way of the Lord. The message of John the Baptist, the greatest man born from Adam to Christ, is make straight the way of the Lord. The way of the Lord is the way to the Lord, and it has been tempered with by many religious leaders. The straight way has been tempered and altered to make a broad way by many religious leaders. A broad way so broad that it allows all kinds of crookedness and deception. And this was the concern of the Lord Jesus. So I'm taking you now to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Because straight is the gate, and narrow, which really means here, dear ones, straitened. Narrow, that is straitened, is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let me ask you today, will you continue on the broad way that allows for crookedness, that allows for deceit, that allows for selfishness, that allows and craves for and aspires earthly honor and recognition? Will you today, dear one, forsake this broad way and hear the gospel of John the Baptist and get on the straight way, where there's no deceit, where there's no dishonesty, where there's no deception, where there's no corruption, where there's no self-righteousness, no pride, no jealousy, no harshness, no criticism, no resentment, no fault-finding, no lust, no greed and disobedience, but sweetness and humility and brokenness and utter dependence on God, where the light of Jesus shines brightly and the power of the Holy Spirit continues to transform us more and more into the likeness of our dear Savior. Oh, my friend, you need to know before I close what the next verse is. The next verse is, "Beware of false prophets, because it is they who have altered the straight way of the Lord to make it a broad way that leads to destruction." Yes, can you hear the call of God in your heart right now to give your life to Jesus? Confess your sins, repent of your sins, ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He will receive you as a son that was lost and is now found, as one who was dead but now has come to life everlasting. Our Father, we pray now that you will do this great work of salvation by drawing souls and by entering into lives. We ask it in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Amen. Well, loved ones, we'll continue next week with the next point of John the Baptist's gospel, which we have called the first gospel, because John was the first one to preach the gospel, even before Jesus and before Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. He preceded them all. Now, next week, the second point of John the Baptist's gospel message is, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, coming to you each week over the station. Please pray for me, and goodbye now until next week.